thought for today. Take time to listen instead of waiting to talk. Take time to listen instead of waiting to talk. Take time to listen instead of waiting to talk. We are rather spectacular people. We're very good. We're very wonderful. We like to listen to the divine within. And we listen to the divine within, and we think that we have heard it. We think that we've heard it all. The mother says, "Johnny, time to come in from play now." And Johnny hears, "You have another 20 minutes before I get angry at you, and you have to come in from play." And then she calls again in 10 minutes, "Johnny, time to come in for supper now. Come on, get washed up." And he knows that there's another 10 minutes yet. And so he keeps on playing, enjoying himself. He listens to what he knows is being said, not what is being said. He listens to what is behind the word, what is behind the idea, what is behind the call. Now, if Mother said, "Johnny, we're having ice cream, and last call," Johnny would be there in a minute, wouldn't he? Or, "Johnny, your Aunt Matilda is here, and she's ready for her kiss." And Johnny says, "Aunt Matilda, $10 in her hand. I kiss her, and she puts it in my hand. It's worth it." So he goes in and he kisses Aunt Matilda. He doesn't go in to kiss Aunt Matilda. He goes in to get the $10. You see, we should take time to listen, because the message is not always on the surface. It's not always what we hear, but it's what's going on within. When we listen to the divine within, we don't always hear what we want to hear. The divine within says, "Be a good person, be honest, be truthful, be just, be loving, be unconditional." That's what the divine within each one of us says. But we hear it this way: be kind to those who are kind to you, be loving to those who are loving to you. And you don't have to give Aunt Matilda a kiss if you come in there and say, "Aunt Matilda, you're so wonderful, you're so wonderful." Oh, Aunt Matilda, give her a big hug with your face down by her breast or by her belly, and give her a big snuggle hug, and she'll think she's been kissed and give you the $10, you know. It's just a matter of how you approach these things. Take time to listen instead of waiting to talk. So often, we're in a conversation with friends, and the friends are telling us about their wonderful journey, or their wonderful grandchildren, or their wonderful this, or their wonderful that. And we want to tell them about our wonderful grandchildren, our wonderful journey, our wonderful this and that. And so, as they're talking, and they're saying, "Oh, we went down through the Panama Canal." You're thinking, "Yeah, we went down through the Panama Canal too." And then we stopped off at these various little communities along the way, and we were on a tour, so we were allowed to do it. We went to X, Y, and Z. And you say, yeah, we went to X, P, D. Hey, they went to different places than we did. No, they went to X, P, D. They didn't go to X, Y, Z. They just say that, but they really went to X, P, D. We make people say what we want them to say, because that's what we want to hear. We want to hear whatever it is that we're familiar with. We want to hear whatever it is that pleases us. We want to hear whatever it is that turns us on. In the physical world, as well as in the spiritual world, if we take time to listen instead of waiting to talk, we will have an open mind instead of a mind that is ready to jump in and tell our side of the story. There was a radio commentator for years and years and years. He would give the story about what's going on in the world, or he'd give a story about some incident, and then he'd have the commercial, and after the commercial he'd come back and he'd say, "And now for the rest of the story." And now for the rest of the story. You know, oftentimes we can't wait for the commercial. We have to skip out because we think we had the whole story. And in truth, we haven't really heard the story. We have to wait for and now for the rest of the story. Because the rest of the story could be quite spectacular. Outside this house is a pot of gold. And that pot of gold is for anyone who wants it. But I don't want my lawn dug up. It's in a place where you don't have to dig up the lawn. It's in a place where you don't have to dig up my flower beds. It's in a place where you don't have to dig up my driveway or my sidewalk. It's in a place where you don't have to dig up anything. It's very readily available to you. And then the commercial comes. Okay, let's have some sandwiches and coffee, coffee break. And so during the coffee break, you want to get yourself a shovel and go out and dig for that treasure. And after the coffee break, most of the people come back, some are missing. And you say to them, and now for the rest of the story. The pot of gold is above ground. It's right in plain vision for you to see. You have looked at it regularly. Every time you come to visit here, you have looked at it. You have seen it. You have known it's lovely. You have known it's a pot. You know that it's really golden and lovely. Oh, you have a gold pot on top of every pillar going around the fence post, going around your property. You have these brick fence posts with a pot that's painted gold on top of each one. And you have about 2,000 of them. Wow! We can't destroy 2,000 pots to look for the gold. Or can we? Or can we take one pot home a night, or maybe 10 pots home a night, and inspect them with our laser treatment, and then come back and bring them back before morning? We'd be working every night, wouldn't we? For a long time. And so, I say to you, you have seen them every day. Every time you come to visit me, you see them. Well now, my property is a large 100-acre piece of property, and the posts go all the way around it. And you don't see all the posts every day, do you? You only see a few of them. And so if you'd listened, you would have heard, you see them every time you come to visit me. Now, what do you see every time you come to visit? Well, you see many pots, but you only see a few of them. And what pot do you really see? Are you looking like this here and looking like this here, to the left and to the right, to see the pots up and down the lane? No. You're usually looking straight ahead. You're following the road. Now, just as you enter, there are a pot on each side of the road. Now, that would certainly be a candidate for thinking about having a pot of gold. And then, right in the middle, where you turn to the right on the drive, to circle in front of the house, there's a beautiful big pot. It stands right in the front. You have to see it, or turn away from it, or you get accustomed to seeing it, and you don't see it anymore. But it's right there. Then, you come up to the staircase, and on each side of the staircase are a lovely pot, painted gold. And then as you open the door, you walk in the house, and the first thing you see is a pot painted gold in which you put your umbrellas or canes. Hey, that's interesting too. Now, which pot is it? If any. Which pot is it? I told you, there's a pot of gold right in front of you every time you come to visit me. Every time. It could be me. Maybe I'm the pot of gold. Now, is the gold symbolic or is it actual? Well, let's just pretend that it's actual. If it's an actual pot of gold, what does pot of gold mean? John, what does pot of gold mean?
It means a pot that's got gold in it.
What does it mean, Ingeborg? A pot of gold.
It also could be made of gold.
I'm sorry?
Shining as gold.
No. A pot of gold. It is gold. And you see there, you're doubting that it's real. Sylvia, what do I mean when I say a pot of gold?
A pot filled with gold.
Exactly. Sorry, Ellen. It's a pot filled with gold. You can't put any umbrellas and canes in it. Follow me? You can't have a lamppost sticking out of it. It's a pot of itself filled with gold. Now, they had a great Buddha over in the Asian area. And this Buddha was preserved by the monks, and they painted it black, and they dug a hole in the ground. It's quite large. And they stuck it underground. It was maybe the size of half of this room. It's quite a large Buddha. And for centuries, that Buddha lay underground, because the monks long died off who knew about it, and they didn't remember exactly. Well, I think it's over there, maybe, or maybe it's not. Maybe it's only, I'm thinking, you know. But excavators came along wanting to build a building there. And they dug up this heavy piece. And they weren't sure what it was, but they were trying to get it out. And it's quite large. And then one of them, with his shovel, hit the gold and flaked off the dirt that was on the outside. And he realized, hey, this is something special. And he checked it here and there, said, this is something really special. And so they carefully uprighted the statue and put the Buddha in his rightful place and scrubbed him down, not too much, but just to clean him off. They didn't want to take off the gold too, because it was solid gold, but that'd be wasteful. And they washed him off and scrubbed him off. And today that beautiful Buddha stands in one of their temples, a golden Buddha. The country went through poverty. The country went through terrorists coming through. The country went through, we're not the only country that has terrorists. It's a silly thing for people to think that they're just against the United States. Terrorists are against themselves, that's all, wherever they happen to be. And that's a silly thing. They don't have to do that. We see them loving themselves. So, what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about this golden Buddha that's within you? What are you going to do when someone says, there's a pot of gold in front of my house, and you've seen it every time you come to visit me? What are you going to do about it? Number one, is it your pot of gold? No. It belongs to the person who owns that house. Then why do you think you should go looking for it? How interesting. Pot of gold. Search, 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 search. Pot of gold. Search, search. Anybody finds it, keeps it. It's on my property. I know where it is. It's mine. Keep your cotton picking hands off of it. You see, we listen with only half our mind. The pot of gold is a symbol. It's a fact. It is a fact that it's a pot of gold. In fact, there are a lot of pots of gold around. If you want something to be secure, put it out in plain sight. If you want to have something that is stolen, hide it. Put it in a safe. Be afraid of it. Women who wear these fabulous jewels, they're very expensive jewels. They may have $1 million hanging around their neck. They may have hundreds of thousands of dollars on their fingers and their wrists. But the world is so used to paste, pretend jewelry, that the first thing they say when they see the Hope Diamond, is that for real? Is that a copy or is that real? That's right out. I can touch it. Don't touch it. You'll get your fingerprints on it. So what? You see, when we listen within, then we hear what's for real. Then we hear what is really important for us, what's really fun in life. But until we start listening within, we don't hear it. We have gold all around us. We have beautiful things all around. People will say to you, I'd like to tell you my story. And you say, oh, another Shaggy Dog story. another long, drawn-out story about nothing important. And so we have nothing better to do, so we listen. And as we listen, we find here is an author of pure gold. Here is a person who I never dreamed had that writing talent, had that ability to put words together, to weave a spell of magic and goodness. I never realized that that was that person. Jane Eyre, who would have ever realized that the Bronte sisters would write stories like they did? Who would believe that their ability to put together words in such a beautiful way would fascinate the world for centuries to come? Who would believe that? They were paid some insignificant amount of money for their work, but that was part of the game too. That was part of the game. Because in truth, every artist, every writer, every musician, composer, whomever, they create for themselves. And no amount of money can ever pay them for what they've done. It might keep them alive so they can do some more things, but it doesn't pay them. They want to get their gold out to the public. They want to get their beautiful thing out to the people so the people can enjoy it, so people can get excited about it. Now, take time to listen instead of waiting to talk. We are always so interested in our point of view that we sometimes miss the point of view of the divine within us or of our friends. We sometimes miss the point of view. I will say many things to you all, and I'll say that from a very important point of view. And I'll say, turn left here. And instead of turning left, you begin to rationalize, why should I turn left? If I turn left, I should look to the left here to see if there's any traffic coming so I don't run into it. If I turn left immediately, I might cause an accident, and then I'm the pilot in command, so I'm responsible. And why should I follow somebody else's directions? Why should I do anything? And of course, you shouldn't. But when you're with your teacher, you always follow your teacher's directions. When I was teaching Jan to drive the car, as I told you before, he was very quick, very fast. He was remarkable in every way. And I was teaching him to be instantaneous, putting on the brakes. And I said, Jan, put on the brakes. He wouldn't do it. Jan, there's a little girl in front of the car. Put on the brakes. He didn't see a little girl there, so he didn't put on the brakes. Jan, I'm teaching you to react. To react to me or to react to something else. Now, Jan, why didn't you do it? No response. No response. Now, what did I give you the knitting for? To encourage you to stay alert and awake, because it is pleasantly warm in here. And who's not knitting right now who should be knitting?
Ingeborg.
Why is Ingeborg not knitting? Because she doesn't care. She doesn't really care about being here with us and following the program. Now, do you care, Ingeborg?
I do.
Well, then where's your knitting? Please, where's your knitting? Get your knitting. You don't have to worry about Button there. He'll take care of himself. But we have these things for a very definite purpose. And the purpose that we have these things here is for you. And if you stay awake without knitting, that's just fine. But if you fall asleep and you don't knit, that's not good.
I have finished the wool. Take another one.
Now she finished the wool. Now what is she saying to me? There's nothing that she can do. She has no wool with which to knit. So, what are we doing? We are making excuses. We're qualifying the things that we're doing. And as we qualify the things we're doing, we lose the benefit for them. Now what is that that's hanging off there, Ingeborg? What is that?
It's the end of the rule of this.
Oh, you have a little bit there yet. Now, how long will that last?
10 minutes.
I'm sorry?
10 minutes.
That's good. Well, would you like some more?
If I can get some more, I would.
All right, here it comes. Ellen is bringing you some more. If necessary. Oh, now you want to be particular.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Herb, that's awfully. No, Herb, that's awfully noisy. It's awfully loud. You're knitting to help you to stay awake. I don't care what you knit. I don't care if you knit green, red, blue, black, and brown all into one little thing. All I'm caring about is that you knit. Is that you have your attention, stay with us. Now maybe when you knit, it doesn't work. Why do you do this? Why do you want to discuss something that there's no discussion on? Take time to listen instead of waiting to talk. You see, you're waiting to tell me why you can't knit because you had no yarn. And you're waiting to tell me why you can't do this because you can't do that. But don't do that. I'm not here as a friend. I'm not here as someone who's pleasant to you. I'm here as a hammerhead. I'm here as your teacher, trying to pound something into your head. Of course, as your spiritual teacher, I pound things into your head with thoughts and ideas and love. Terrible. You're not very loving when you shout at me like that. I didn't shout at you. I shouted at everyone. I said, why are we here? To be ourselves and have fun in the essence of the whole, yes, but why are we here? We are here to listen to ideas. We're here to listen to how we can self-discipline ourselves. Now, if we don't learn how to self-discipline ourselves, there's no reason for us to be here. There's no reason for you to get up at the 4 o'clock in the morning and come over here and through the cold morning air and sit here on the floor, you know. There's no reason for you to sit here and listen to me harangue you. There's no reason for that at all, unless you're walking your spiritual path, and this is an important part of your spiritual path. Do you understand me? It's really quite important for us to think of these things, because if we don't think of these things, if we don't recognize these things, we're in trouble. I'm not here because I want to sit here in the morning with you guys. I have all sorts of things I enjoy doing. I have all sorts of things I enjoy writing and doing, working on. But I come to sit with you and share with you. And when I don't share with you at breakfast, lunch, or dinner, you say, hey, where's your talk? Where's your talk? And I'm glad to have it. And the things that I have said before and after the talk are as significant as the talk would be. But I'm not your friend. I love you unconditionally. I'm your lover, your unconditional lover. I don't want to have a relationship with you. I just want to love you, snuggle you and cuddle you and hug you. Just make every part of your body come alive whenever I'm around. Not because I need you or you need me, but because the temple of the living God turns on the light when I come by. Herb, that's a mighty big statement to make about yourself. Well, I'm not making it about myself. When the Christ meets the Christ, what happens? It's a big flash. When God meets God, what happens? It's a glow of infinite proportions. When you and I meet each other, what happens? It's that glow of infinite proportions. I can grab you around the arms, I can snuggle you, I can kiss you, I can hug you, grab your buns, do everything to you. And it feels good. It feels very good. And then for one instant you think, what has he got on his mind? And if you have that instant of thinking in a negative sense, then so it is. If you, what has he got on his mind? Does he want to hug me some more? And then that's good. That's good. But you see, we are so conditioned by our life. We don't take time to listen because we're so eager to respond, to react. We're so eager to come back with a retort. Whereas if we had listened, if we really waited to listen, not to speak, we would have magic coming into our life in a very wonderful way. You see, a lot of times I say things to people and I get real chummy with them. And this is done intentionally. I get real friendly with you. I'm your buddy. To indicate to you that I'm not your buddy. You see, a buddy doesn't love you unconditionally. A buddy loves you as their personal friend. A child, a mother, a father, relative, loves you as his personal friend, personal relationship. But if you love the entire universe, all of you, if you love the entire universe unconditionally, you are loving more than anything else can be loved. And the moment you love conditionally, you shut off whatever is not in your condition. I love white people. I love black people. I love yellow people. I love brown people. I love red people. I love special people. Well, what a loss. You're losing a major portion of the world if you only love one color. But if you love every color unconditionally, wow. And you know, inside of every one of those colored skins is a person just like you. Is a person just as wonderful, just as exciting, even living in primitive areas. Just think of these people living in primitive areas where they have no television. My God, they have no television. They have no supermarkets. They have to just eat what they can catch in the field. And they get educated by the mommy or daddy or uncle who tells them how to hunt, how to fish, how to prepare food. That's their primary thing. And they learn the ethics of the tribe. And they learn that if you steal from somebody, you're going to be shot, you're going to be dead, or you'll lose a hand. That's the way they dealt with people who were criminals. They didn't need jails. They just took instant response. If you're going to take what doesn't belong to you, we'll take your hands away so you can't take it. That's terrible. You learn fast and you never do it again. We think that by putting a person in prison, you're going to make them change. But the people who are in prison usually become more proficient in their field, whatever that field may be. Take time to listen. Take time to be unconditionally loving. Instead of waiting to talk, listen all the more intently with whatever is being said. I'm not here as an accident, and you're not to worship me. My goodness, I do everything I can to keep you from worshiping me. And you're not to worship yourself, but you're to worship the divine, universally present in you, in me, in all. And that's a wonderful thing. And when you worship that divine, you know what happens? Then you're divine. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever things you think about, that's what you are. And that's what you're always going to be. Now, what do you want out of life? Take time to listen instead of waiting to talk. And when you listen, you'll hear. And unconditional love is not bad. Not bad at all. It puts a whole new parameter on everything, but it's not bad. In fact, it's very exciting. Are you ready for that? Take time to listen instead of waiting to talk. Take time to listen to the divine within you instead of telling the divine within you how to hang its hat. Take time to listen instead of waiting to talk. I love you.